You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Buntwine, erstwhile monk turned traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Buntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.
Hi, everybody. It's Shanti here. It is Thursday, I think, October 5th. And you might have noticed that there wasn't an episode. We usually release our episodes on Wednesday. And we didn't release one this week. Most of you probably already know or can understand why. Tom Petty died this week. I think that might be the first time that I said that out loud. I think maybe I texted it once to one person who I thought maybe wouldn't have known. But yeah, so I was working on Monday, and I actually had a really beautiful and interesting day that day. I was working in a grade one classroom, and I was working in a classroom, in the classroom that I taught in 2 years ago. So I taught in that classroom 2 years ago, a grade one class, and I taught from September until February. And then that's when the contract ended and I went to Nepal. And, you know, things kind of changed big time from there. It was really life-changing from there. But it was nice to be back in that classroom with just such beautiful children. And I really enjoyed my day. I was really present. And I was really with them. And there was one little boy in particular that from the beginning of the day, just sort of, you know, we locked eyes and he was by my side for the rest of the day, you know, sitting together in the circle, working together on the floor, walking with me on the playground at recess time. And it was beautiful. And I just considered it a gift for that day. And then I went to the coffee shop that day, and at the coffee shop that I go to get my, you know, cookie and coffee whenever I'm working at that school, George Harrison's All Things Must Pass was playing. And I had just rewatched Living in the Material World with George Harrison, and I love him. You know, I'm really big into John Lennon right now because I've been researching John and Yoko for an upcoming episode. But there's something about George Harrison that really kind of stuck to my soul as well. And so I thought it was interesting that All Things Must Pass was playing that day. And then I was on my way home and I was on the streetcar and I got kind of three simultaneous messages came in from three people that are, you know, some of the closest people to me. My cousin, my friend Kim, who is my Tom Petty girl. She was the one that I brought to the concert with me this summer, the one that I did the Tom Petty episode with, and Lynx. And that's when I got the news that Tom Petty had been taken to the hospital. And so I went on the internet, and that's when things kind of got, I don't even know how to describe it. Because I went online and there were already, you know, RIP Tom Petty. There was already articles. People had already started tagging me and things. But then there was some confusion and there was this and that. And so I got off the internet. I just got off the internet. And, you know, it's not, I couldn't post anything. I couldn't talk about anything. I couldn't write anything. And I was asking myself, why? Why can't I? Why am I so upset about this? Or, you know, with everything that's been going on and learning about Las Vegas that just happened. And, you know, why am I not feeling the same way about the 58 people that died and the 500 people that were injured that I am about this one person that has died? So I was really confused. I went to my yoga studio to go and work there, and I got to talk it over a little bit with, you know, a teacher, you know, mentor who really helps me out with a lot of things. And she was telling me about, well, it is different. You know, you have a personal connection in a way to this person, to this man. And even though I had never met him before, I was just, I don't know. You feel a connection. You feel a soul connection. So I just took the next couple of days to mourn, I guess, try to figure my thoughts out, try to understand a little bit of how I was feeling and what was going on, and I guess what Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers meant to me. And, you know, I read a lot of people's posts, and a lot of it was how people really felt this connection to Tom Petty, this really mystical, magical, like otherworldly connection to him and his songwriting and the way that he's able to convey messages. And, you know, I think Tom Petty has always represented something to me and to a lot of people about, you know, magic on earth and in this world and how it can be real. And there's not a lot of times that I'm seeing on, you know, my social media, like friends of mine, you know, who are talking about this kind of magic and this kind of otherworldly and something that goes beyond just, you know, this everyday like experience or consciousness that we experience here. And so to kind of see some people coming out and saying, we'll be looking up to you in the stars now, I, you know, it's kind of that that thing that I've always felt about Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers. And, you know, they are the biggest band in the world. And I don't know, I'm sure a lot of you have seen this, the movie Almost Famous, but there's this scene where that band Stillwater brings in William Miller for the first time for his first backstage experience. And as they're walking through this big backstage arena area, you see all of these black things that are set up. cabs with all of the equipment, and you see all of the roadies and you see the groupies and you see everything backstage that you know, back then and back in these arenas that you might typically find. And maybe you would find something like that back in the 70s with Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers, but nowadays in 2017, like, you just, like, that just doesn't happen at a show like that and with a band of that caliber. And so I've just been reflecting on the absolute magical experience that I had with Kim this summer, and that we got to be in that space for this band that is untouchable. And how I got back there, you know, it's a lot of series of events that, you know, started 5 years ago that then had placed me in that moment. And I remember when I walked into the ACC through the back door and looking at all of those black cabs with the white, yellow writing that said Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers on it. It was that same feeling, and it was that same backstage arena experience, but there were, you know, no groupies, there were no people, there were a couple of roadies, not very many, but it was pretty much empty. But I was there and I had made it. And somehow, and for some reason, Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers, Tom Petty had let me in to this circle and this area, and I felt a closeness in a way. And standing on the side of that stage and being so close and then being up in front, it was an absolute gift. Then I will never forget it, never. And who knows if, you know, things, if the band would have continued to play on, and as the podcast just continues to grow and become what it is, if I would have been let in a little bit more or closer, like, you never know. I mean, but the one thing that Tom Petty always represented was this mystery man, this magical man that followed his dreams, and he never gave up, and he believed totally in himself and the people around him. And starting this podcast and finding links and doing all of this stuff has really made me realize that I'm the same way. I can do the same thing. We all can. We can go after what we want and achieve our dreams and meet people who we love and just become a part of everything that makes you excited to live and to be a part of this, to be a part of this world. And when I first started the podcast, I was on my own. And if you guys were with me from the beginning, and I know a lot of you were and have stayed and remained into our almost 50th episode, oh my God, you will remember that the first picture was the Damn the Torpedoes album cover that I ended up recreating. And the reason why I think I chose that sign and that symbol, that album cover, was because I was going into this experience alone, and I didn't have a co-host that believed in me and who I got to believe in, and at least we had each other to go, well, you know, we both know that this is a good idea. It was something that I just jumped into on my own, and I had to have complete faith and trust in myself. And so I think that image almost served as like a you can do it. It made me feel powerful. It made me feel creative. It made me feel artistic. And it made me just kind of have that spirit that Tom always had about just go off and do it, you know. He has that great quote, do something you really like and hopefully it pays the rent. As far as I'm concerned, that's success. And yeah, man, like, Tom Petty was an angel. He was an actual earth angel to me, and his music got to me at a very young age when I was with, you know, my dad and my brothers and my mom, and we had this, you know, beautiful family and home. And over the years, you know, things have changed very much with my family and, you know, like, my dad's illness, but we've always been able to keep this music, and we've always been able to use this language of music to connect. And I've been lucky enough to see Tom Petty 3 times in concert. Twice was with my dad. And, you know, just kind of going back to what John and Yoko, what John would say about Yoko Ono, that you know, she was the mother superior, mother nature, his mother, his sister, his daughter. I feel like Tom Petty is very much like the male archetype of that kind of thing in my life for me. You know, he was the magician, he was the hierophant, like the emperor, the hermit, a dad, a brother. And then he really brought all of those elements in men kind of together for me. When my friend, I had a best friend named Kayla, and she died of brain cancer 2 years ago now. Every time the song Wildflowers would come on, I would think of her, and I would feel like it was, you know, a message from her telling me that everything was all right. And, you know, Tom Petty's music really helps everybody make sense of human existence and to feel that spectrum of human emotion. And he was really able to connect a lot of people. And so when I found out that he was no longer of the earth, he was not, you know, here physically in that body with us, and also just with everything else that's been going on, I kind of thought about what this podcaster, Elizabeth D'Alto, I really, really like her. She has the Untamed the Wild Soul Woman podcast. She had said in one of her podcasts like weeks or months ago where she just went, you know what? I want to book my ticket to the stars. I'm done here. I don't want to live in a place that where people and humans treat each other like this, where there's just so much pain and there's just so much awfulness. And it made me feel that way too. Like I get what you're saying. And I know it seems really dark to think that, but I mean, it's a dark time, but I also am realizing that, you know, Tom Petty was a light worker. He made people feel all right. He made people feel connected. He made people feel human and more than human. And, you know, I know that I can't book my ticket just yet, that while I'm here and while I do have this time, that I have work to do, and there's work that I want to do. And, you know, just looking into that child's face the other day, it's like, it just reminds me of how important it is to stay here and to do good and to serve and to give. And and that's what I'm going to do. And I'm going to continue to, you know, do the things that I love and continue to make this podcast and connect with everybody. That's what I'm going to do. The outpouring of love and support was insane. I couldn't believe it. It was almost as if I was getting messages as if I had lost a family member. From so many people that I love, friends that I haven't heard from for a while, men that mean a lot to me in my life, and, you know, the ones that I only mention sometimes but don't really get into too much detail about. And then the fans and our listeners of our podcast who have been listening and who I didn't even realize, you know, have been listening so intently and have picked up on my love of this band and this man. And I'm sorry if I didn't respond more than just like a couple of heart emojis or X's and O's. I just haven't been able to speak or talk, and I've just had a few days to process. But thank you, everybody, so much. It was such a nice, it was a gift. It was a gift to receive all of these messages from fans and friends and listeners and loved ones and everything. It was just this beautiful reminder that I have a beautiful life, and that, you know, and to be grateful and to continue to do what I've been doing. One thing that I haven't been talking about too much, you know, on my personal, you know, Facebook account or social media or anything like that is, you know, what I've been doing this year with work. And I had made the decision, and I have made the decision, that instead of going instead of doing full-time teaching, I've been, you know, lucky enough to secure and procure a permanent teaching position with the school board. And I decided to not have a classroom of my own this year, and that this is the time to look into doing what I love, which is being with children and educating, but to refine that and to continue to podcast, but then also to refine that and to continue to work on, you know, my health and well-being and my yoga practice, and really to refine that. So this year, I'm going to have a bit of a different kind of schedule, and I'm going to do the things that I love, and I'm going to take this opportunity and this kind of new beginning and this message from this man who always looked out for the little guy and who would always look for justice. Like, Tom Petty hated injustice. He hated it when people got taken advantage of. And he always stood up for the people that he loved. And, you know, I want to take that, and I want to continue to do that in my own life as well. So if it means, you know, having another blog, but that's a little bit more incorporating who I am more on a holistic level, not just like a podcaster about like amazing women and groupies and muses, but also this side of me who's really, really more interested, interested in looking more into education and equitable education and living a peaceful life and finding, you know, equanimity and balance and kind of bringing all of that stuff together in a place where I can have other meaningful connections and conversations with people. So I'm going to meditate more. I'm going to try to stress less. I want to spread peace, and if that's going to be through another kind of podcast or a blog or something, you know, I'm going to take some time to figure that out. And if you guys need anything, then I want to be here for you. But I definitely need to practice this peace in my life before I start to preach it on any kind of platform, I think. Yoko Ono tweeted not too long ago that my ultimate goal is to do my best every day, so when I'm ready to pass away to the other side, I can say I did, and I see myself smiling. So that's what I'm going to do. And no, I'm not going to book my ticket to the stars yet to go join George and Tom, but I'll stay here, and I'm going to, you know, keep being inspired by women like Yoko Ono to live peacefully and spread that. I got some new cards today. And I was just looking through them quickly, and I started to just pull out ones that really started to mean something to me. And I'm going to share them with you. And I'm just going to leave it there, but I think having another kind of platform will be a way to get into this side of myself, and that I'll be able to explore more, and then hopefully be able to explore that with you. So the cards that I chose were oneness, inner witness, higher knowledge, liberation, centering, fearlessness, nourishment, transformation, radiant light, self-trust, inner guidance, brilliance, awakening, release, spiritual truth, and freedom. Another thing that I picked up today was an oracle deck, oracle cards. And I think that this card might sum up a little bit how I've been feeling and maybe how I've felt connected to this man or this band, with this man that I've never met before. And the card that I chose was Reunion of Souls. And this is what the card means. There's a school of thought that says before souls come to Earth, we make contracts or agreements with other souls. At one point in time, we appear in each other's lives to assist those involved in learning a lesson, being a catalyst for a needed change, or to share in profound joy. When a person comes into your life to teach you a lesson, no matter the human form, no matter the human experience, this agreement is based in love. The human experience may have been painful and extremely challenging. Acknowledge the depth of love needed for this contract to take place and then let them go. The experience may have been profoundly moving, but ended abruptly and without reason. Again, be grateful and move on. Cherish the lessons and move forward into your life the way it was meant to be. So that's what I'm going to do. You know, time to move on. Time to get going. What lies ahead, I have no way of knowing. Right, Tom? Thanks for that. So I love how a lot of people aren't really saying goodbye in their beautiful, eloquently written articles. A lot of people are saying thank you. And so I think it is a big thank you. My friend Kim, my Tom Petty friend Kim, wrote a beautiful poem that I'm going to include with, I think I was going to read it, but I think I'm just going to just attach it to how I am, to what I post with this podcast episode. Thanks to Lynx for letting me kind of do this anyways. She told me to take the week off and that if we needed to just be silent, that that's okay. So I really appreciate that, Lynx. Thank you. She's someone who just really knows and understands what it means to love a band so profoundly in this way. Lynx said to me that she could tell that I needed some time. And she said, others may not understand, but when you live and breathe music, these people are our closest friends, always there when you need them. She said, our listeners know your connection to him as well. So thank you so much, Lynx, for that. I love you so much. And finally, I guess the last thing I'm going to say is the first song that I listened to, I haven't been able to listen too much, but the first song that I listened to and had a good cry after learning about the news was, I think the song is called Mystic Eyes, but Tom Petty does it live on the Running Down a Dream, and he does it live, and it's so beautiful. You can just look it up on YouTube or you can watch the whole thing, but you just feel the connection that he has with the crowd and just watch what he's doing with his hands and just what he's doing with the air, and it's so beautiful. And there's a part in the song where he just kind of goes off and goes, and for just one moment, everything is all right. And I want to give that moment to you. I want to give it to you and look into your mystic eyes. And he has given so many of those moments to me and to people. And I think it just serves as a reminder too that what everybody is just searching for and looking for in our lives is just that moment. That's that. Sometimes they're just brief, they're just small, they're so fleeting, but moments where you just feel it, that despite what else is going on or what else is happening or any kind of like external things that are happening, everything is all right. And Tom Petty has given me those moments and reminding me to take those, and I will continue to take those and to try to live as peacefully as possible. So again, thank you for that. So what I'm going to do now is, of course, we're going to be releasing our episodes every week, but I'm going to head home, I'm going to go spend some time with my mom, and I'm going to retreat a little bit into, you know, a quiet place to gather some resources for what might come. I'm going to just work on making my body, my mind, and my soul as strong and unencumbered as possible. And then when I kind of figure out what that's like and how to do that so that I can have lots of moments where everything is all right, then I'm going to be able to kind of pass that on to you. So thanks for listening. Thanks for being there. Thank you for the love. Thank you for the support. Talking to you, listeners and friends and family and everybody. And thank you, Tom Petty, for everything. And my friends, I must leave you with this last thing. And that's that I had chosen a few cards from this shamanic healing oracle deck to kind of help me record this episode or to help me find some words to explain how I'm going to be moving forwards. And, you know, it's from this deck that I have the Reunion of the Souls card. And then I look down at the book that has a more detailed descriptions of the cards. And in the bottom right corner is an illustration of a heart with wings, kind of like Tom Petty's iconic symbol, his heart symbol with his guitar going through it. And I just have to say, you know, thanks, Tom. Thank you for this beautiful message. And just to let you guys know that the heart on this deck, on in this book, is it's full and it is not broken. Yeah. Thanks, Tom. Thank you so much.
Hello, friends. This is Mark Nell, executive producer of the Table Read podcast, where imagination meets performance. As we wrap up an incredible season one, we want to take a moment to express our heartfelt gratitude to each and every one of you who tuned in and supported us on this amazing journey. Season one was nothing short of extraordinary. We delved into captivating scripts that transported us to worlds beyond our imagination, thanks to the brilliant writers who delivered these works. But what really brought these stories to life were the talents of our amazing actors. But wait, the excitement doesn't end there. As we bid farewell to season one, we are thrilled to announce the launch of season two. Get ready for more gripping narratives, more unforgettable characters, and more mesmerizing performances that will keep you on the edge of your seat. We have some big surprises coming. The Force will definitely be with you. So stay tuned, stay engaged, and most importantly, stay excited. From all of us at the Table Read Podcast, thank you. And let's make season two even more memorable together.